Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to announce May's winner of the Union GK member profile. Congratulations to Chris Gregory of Huntsville, Alabama on some great content and looking forward to having you on the show in June. And if you want to be eligible, all you have to do is begin engaging on the Union GK app. To download free, go to www.theunionsports.com or the Union GK on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible. And on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me, with her USA hat on, 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber, and joining us for a very special Memorial Day inside the 18, we have the one and only Dane St. Clair of the Canadian men's national team and Minnesota United. So we're learning a lot about everybody's holidays today.
I told them Canadians have similar type holidays. You have like some kind of like, I think it's like a Thanksgiving or something. You have like a 4th of July type of holiday. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can sing your national anthem because I've heard it so many times.
Yeah, we have Thanksgiving. It's just like a month earlier. And then we have Canada Day, which is a couple days before 4th of July. And then we have like Remembrance Day as well, which is kind of like our Memorial Day.
So you got... I don't want to say they're like knockoff of the American holidays, but they sound very, very similar. Boy, I am just going to get canceled by all of the Canadians.
Yes, you are, because they're celebrating their own country. So they're not a knockoff.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is what if Dane just left right now?
I know. He's like, bye.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Dane, obviously, thanks for coming back on the show, man. I know it's been a couple of years, but you've had kind of a whirlwind last couple of years. So why don't you catch up some of the audience on kind of what's been going on with you a lot?
Yeah, I think probably the last time was kind of when we were making that playoff push when I kind of first started playing back in 2019 with Minnesota. And then 2020 didn't really go the way I wanted to start off playing, and then the team didn't start off too well, and I kind of fell on the sword for the team, and they decided to switch my position. And then 2021 last year, that was, I get mixed up with all these like the years of everything.
Dude, it's all a whirlwind. That's what happens, Saskia, when you go to World Cups. Everything just kind of becomes a blur.
So the first part was 2020, then that was 2021, and then last year kind of the opposite happened to me, where I kind of got an opportunity because our goalie was sick, and then kind of never looked back from it, and
nice.
Was able to make the All-Star team, to go to the World Cup. Some big personal and team achievements.
I mean, that's phenomenal. And Saskia, you know, we've always talked about this. You talk about this in NWSL all the time in regards to the fact that, hey, anything can happen. Anybody can grab their opportunity, and they're not twos. They're one and a half, as you always say.
One and a half. So, yeah. You never know. You always want to be ready and prepared, and never, you know, you can get traded and you can find a better home somewhere else and end up on a World Cup team. So you never know. You just have to always be ready.
Yeah. You know, as we're waiting for Dane's connection to come right back on here, I think, you know, one of the really cool things, you know, in regards to this is there's so many stories of
but they're
of
so
goalkeepers.
Similar.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Rarely do you find a goalkeeper that doesn't have a story where they, you know, were the backup or came in new to a team or moved to another team and got the nod and never looked back. I mean, You know, you can even look at like, okay, take Brianna Scurry, right? In college, she came in, Sky Eddy was the starting at UMass, and Bri came in, you know, and took the spot eventually from her and never looked back and never looked back. So I think, and same with the U.S. national team. So I think, you know, I don't know a single goalkeeper doesn't have a story. That's just like, I was the best and I was always the best. And I started every game play, every team I was on, and I just sailed right through. Like, Michael Jordan doesn't even have that story.
Dane, would you agree with that?
No, exactly. But seriously, Mike, think about it. Like, if we, like, I name a goalkeeper, or I'd ask anybody out there that's, you know, barbecuing and listening to us on giant speakers right now, name a goalkeeper, come to me with a goalkeeper that since they were like in the system and really like moving forward in their career, that they didn't have a hiccup, that they didn't, you know, they weren't the backup, and just shot right to the top. You know, like even for me, when I started, I came in and I did have like kind of like a big shotgun, like from club into like ODP onto the, and next thing I know, within a year, I was on like the national team and stuff, but I wasn't starting like, you know, yeah. And so I think that every goalkeeper, especially in that position, because you're not playing that often. So
exactly. And I think, you know, I mean, this is just in regards to the conversation of why it is so important to get repetitions. And we'll talk about it when Dane comes back, because he did spend some time in the lower divisions getting reps, you know, as opposed to just sitting there on the bench at Minnesota United. You know, it's just so important to get those game actions once you get to that professional level. You know, it's one thing to be playing in college. It's another thing to be getting those professional reps.
Yeah, but even if we look at like, Kaylin Sheridan, you know, she wasn't always a starter. Fallon Tullis-Joyce wasn't always a starter. You know, so you look at some of the top goalkeepers in the NWSL, and quite arguably the two top goalkeepers in the NWSL right now, they all have stories.
Yeah.
So does Didi. Like, they all have stories behind them of how they ended up where they are, and now they're thriving, but it wasn't always like that.
And I think, and by the way, you know, shout out to all the goalkeepers in NWSL who've been doing
Anton
great.
Air, who just reached 500 saves. So,
oh, congrats to that.
And what an amazing save it was to reach the 500, but now she's has the most saves in history in the NWSL.
Well, what about Kaylin's performance this past weekend for
Kaylin's playing hands down amazing. She's having another great year. Canada's got to be so excited going into the World Cup about how well she's playing. And we talked about, you know, Nair, although yes, they've let up a lot of goals, she's still playing well. And, you know, talking to like Petroselli about her and stuff, he's like, she's doing everything we could ever ask her to do on and off the field as a leader. And it's not her, you know, for Chicago, they did get the win this past week. Look, I'm like, basically I'm on Paramount Plus right now.
No, I know. Exactly.
And then
guys, this is going to be the preview of the Weber show on Paramount Plus.
No, we're actually going to talk about this on Wednesday. So it's a practice. And then you look at Fallon, you look at Didi, like the goalkeepers aren't making mistakes. They're, you know, some of these goals are absolutely incredible that are getting scored. And it's actually nice to see. It's not like mental mistakes. It's not like, you know, tactical or technical mistakes by the goalkeepers. They're getting great goals scored on.
I mean, I think that's, you know, that's just a testament just to the quality of the league. And I think, you know, this was something that was brought up actually on last week's podcast with Ryan Coulter from FC Cincinnati, in the fact that like, goalkeepers, young goalkeepers especially out there, have to accept the fact that goals are going to be they're going to be scored on. All you can do, the number one thing for you to focus on, is eliminating the immediate threat. Because if you're focused on trying to stop everything from happening, it's never going to happen.
No, and it's never, and random things are going to happen. Like, you know, look at AD when you know, she dove near post, it hit off the post, it hit her in the back of the head. Like, and even Nair on the PK the other week, and, you know, she covered it, hit the post, hit her in the back of the head. So like, I'm just bringing those up as things are going to happen. Just if you keep the simple things simple and do those jobs, if somebody beats you with a banger in the upper 90, they beat you with a banger in the upper 90.
And I think, you know, in regards to that as well, too, that's just the recognizing that, and you bring this up all the time, that if you're so focused on like the back post runner that you're not mm-hmm. even focused on the ball literally in front of you. And so many young goalkeepers do that. They're like, well, my coach told me I always got to make sure I got to check on
gotta watch the near post. But yeah. The whole point of those target players is to draw your attention. And there's no reason to draw your attention. Let them run to the near post. You have a player to mark them. Your only job on a restart or a corner kick is the ball at that mm-hmm. point. Everybody else is organized. They have to do their jobs. Now your job is on ball and that's it. So don't get jostled by the peripheral. And we see it all the time. You see, and you know how technical I am. You see that one little jerk forward.
Yep.
Because, you know, Caprice Asco comes running out of your left side of your eye line to a corner kick, and you kind of get drawn to go with her, and that's all it takes.
Yep.
And now you're off kilter, and you can't get to the ball if it comes far post and everything. So
I actually never even thought about that sometimes these runs are actual tactical decisions.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, wow.
They're there to distract. They're there to distract you. They're there to the players that are in front of you. They're just there to draw your attention away from. And if you can kind of drown out the noise and say, all right, jump up and down in front of me all you want, you know, but sometimes we see goalkeepers and they'll shove the person. The minute you like push the person away from you, now they won, because now that split second it took to do that, now you're off your timing to come and get the cross. Get back into position, everything. You're a split second behind. So those are tactical runs to draw your peripheral and to draw your thought process away from the task at hand.
Man, you've made my head explode once again, Saskia Weber. I am now going to, because that's something I never even
thought. Well, you have to watch. So when you look, because when I sit and I watch restarts and corner kicks, first of all, I think right now the best restarts there are, best corner kicks there are to take are driven balls near post. I mean, Emsley scored on one, but mm-hmm. like driven balls near post, because it's so difficult for the goalkeeper. You have a person on the near post, you have runners going to the near post. The time it takes for the ball to get into that zone right around that area, head height, it's incredibly difficult for you to come, because you do have to take a short millisecond pause to see where the ball is going to go. So now you're kind of behind the driven ball as it is. And all it takes is a flick, right? So all it takes is that to get past you or to get into the mix. Or a dummy to go by you. And so when you see people take those corner kicks and they float up in the air, if I was a goalkeeper, I'd be like, awesome. Like,
yeah.
Thanks. You know, that's great. Yeah. And then again, if you look at Emsley's goal this past weekend, I mean, she didn't mean to do it. She actually said, and I was like, Emsley, don't ever for Angel City, don't ever admit that. But that against against OL Reign, I mean, she tucked it in the upper 90 near post from the corner on a driven ball, you know? So, but all those things are distractions. Just focus as a goalkeeper, just focus on that. You have to look at that like it's a shot, period. The corner kicks, a free kick, it's a shot.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, because I think one of the things that happens so many times, especially with young goalkeepers, is, and this will kind of come into the conversation when we get into our topic about of attacking and meeting, which is something that that we've been discussing quite a bit. And let's see if our special guest is back here.
Hey,
we got him back.
Sorry, we got him back.
Oh, all good, man. All good. We were actually just discussing in regards to the fact that, like, and maybe you can shed some light on this. Saskia brought up something I never even thought about, is that when so many young goalkeepers are focused on like a back post runner or something that's not the immediate threat, that they forget about the immediate threat, like the chase on the ball, you know, the specific, you know, ball line, all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Like, do you agree?
Yeah, I think definitely it's easy to start organizing, I think, especially in, you notice it in games like small-sided, I think the most, You're trying to organize so much in front of you
that the ball's in the back of the net.
Yeah, exactly.
I say that all the time, like when I was at UCLA, and I'd be like, okay, Hannah, you're over-organizing. Go pick the ball out of the back of the net because they shot it and you're still trying to organize your back post. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, you know, I think that's such a great way for us to segue into this topic.
Sorry, here, Hannah, Dan. I love you.
So let's hop right into it. And then throughout the conversation, we can also talk about your World Cup experience and all that stuff, because I'm sure that's something that a lot of people, you know, want to hear about. Was just first off, by the way, Grant, congratulations from, you know, being a 1.5, as Saskia likes to say, to an MLS All-Star to the World Cup in Qatar. I mean, like that is just. Canada's in good hands, Saskia, on the men and women's side, really, honestly.
They are. I always root for Canada. Always. I do. I always root for Canada unless they're playing us.
Well, thank you. Yes.
So let's get a little bit in today's topic, which is attacking and meeting the ball, meet and attack. This is a conversation that we've been having a lot on the Union platform. So if a lot of you guys, thank you for been engaging on the Union platform. Some of the clips that some people have been sharing and some of the conversations we've been having in regards to making sure that you don't wait, you know, for the ball, but you come and attack and you meet the ball. So, Dane, what do we mean by like attack and meet the ball?
Yeah, I think if you think about it in terms, it can be applied to anything. But I think even if you think about it in terms of crossing, can you get to the ball at the highest point, the earliest spot? You know what I mean? I think 1v1s, can you beat the defender, the attacker there on a 50-50? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it can be applied to many things. It's a broad term, but it's kind of just about getting to the ball first at the or as quickly and as early as you can. I think is the way I interpret it.
You know, I mean, I love what you just said in regards to it's a broad term, because Saskia, this is a conversation that we've had in regards to sometimes people will be so general with direction, and young goalkeepers, because they take things so literally, you know, they'll hear like attack and meet, you know, coming, shooting on a ball and like attack and meet that ball. And then they go, oh, but that's when you do it here or whatever, as opposed to kind of understanding different scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, it's all like, I love the scenarios that Dan brought up. I mean, you know, yes, actually attacking the ball means on a cross or service, getting it at the highest point. You know, you have to do that, because nowadays you have players that are jumping higher than, if you're not meeting at the highest point, you're going to get into a problem, because their vertical is, if you get there late and you're jumping up in a crowd and not with the right momentum and everything, they can head it through you. And so, you know, yes, attack, meet at the highest point. Are you beating that through ball? It's a 50-50 ball. Are you getting there first, or are you hesitating and now you're a split second behind? Like, you know, so now you've made a mess of it because you're a split second behind. So now I have to come out and do a block, or you just get beat. As opposed to, had I been like kind of proactive in that and reading the play and getting my jump, now I'm on a 50-50 ball. So I'm smothering it at their feet, or I'm beating them to it and I'm collecting it. And so getting to the ball first saves a lot of headaches. Basically a lot of headaches.
Exactly. And Dane, feel free to step in anytime. Like, don't need to wait for us to ask you a question,
yeah,
but like, I do want to ask you in regards to like, why do you think so many young goalkeepers have difficulty like shooting forward at a ball rather than, you know, a lot of time they're just so passive in those moments?
I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to starting position. I think if your weight's going backwards, or you're on your heels and you're not on your toes, it's going to be hard to get forward and to create that momentum. And then I think the other one is just seeing the ball early and having the confidence that even if it's a hard shot that you can go get there. I think sometimes we lean backwards or react late to give ourselves that extra split second, but in a lot of times that can it can be too late, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think it's starting position as well. Great point. I also think it's like it's reading the game. It's understanding the game and what's going on. Like, you can't be reactive. You have to be proactive. If you're not reading the game and you're on your heels, like you said, Dane, and all of a sudden the ball gets played through, that split second that you were on your heels or that you were like, oh, here comes the ball, I should go, you're already too late.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I love what you just said there in regards to the starting position, Dane, because like, I'm just even just thinking about a lot of young goalkeepers that because they're out of position, that's where their timing. And I don't mean out of position as in like they're all the way over on the back post and the shots hit to the near post. I mean, just slightly off ball line. Did he freeze?
Yeah.
Did Dane freeze? He did freeze. Okay. All right. Well, it serves us right for doing a podcast on a holiday. So
it does. And Canada's mad at us. So
Canada's definitely mad at us.
I'm so sorry about this connection. I feel like this never happens. And then, of course, today is.
Don't worry about
when
it.
When it's just going that's in and out. So I apologize to any of the live viewers there who see me popping in and out.
Now, I'm telling you, Canada's mad at you, Mike. Something's messing with the server.
Here's the deal, Dane. Like, yes, it's a special podcast on Memorial Day. It's also the fact that like it's your day off right now, and Saskia also has to head out to North Carolina to help coach the U.S. women's team in the soccer tournament. Against Borussia Dortmund and Wrexham and all these other crazy
Thursday night is Wrexham.
Wow,
if I'm correct.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So we
it's going to be interesting. I love it though. You know, it's actually for all of us. It's a reunion, so it's all. Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, at least, you know, you said you weren't going to play in goal, but hey, you know, anything's possible. You should still bring those gloves.
I can't find a pair. I just dusted off my cleats again. So, yeah.
Oh my God. So Dane, so you were bringing up starting position, and I was just thinking about the fact that a lot of times when a young goalkeeper hears, you know, oh, you know, you're out of position. They think out of position means like they're over on the back post and the shot's being hit to the near post, but out of position can just be slightly outside a ball line. Like you're slightly this direction and the ball bends this way.
No, he didn't freeze. It's a rhetorical question. I keep telling you that he froze again. God.
He did freeze again.
So
this is a blooper episode.
This is going downhill fast, Mike.
This is amazing.
I don't know. Just go on to a new question, Mike.
All right, let's move on.
I got the question. It's actually funny enough. It was something that me, the goalie coach, and Fred Emmings were talking about recently. He's one of our homegrowns that has been playing with the second team this year and kind of figuring it out and getting his minutes there. But we talked about it. A lot of times your starting position can kind of dictate what you can and can't do from that position, whether it's going to get a cross. You can say, oh, I should have got that cross, but your starting position might not have allowed you to even get to that cross to begin with. So I think like you said, it can be slight adjustments that can go a long way and kind of help you make decisions for you or quicker.
You know, and I like what you just said right there too. And Saskia, you know, in regards to like the decisions, I think one of the reasons that a lot of young goalkeepers, and tell me if you agree with this, the reason that they have problems attacking the ball is because they don't basically, they don't deal with a moment based on the moment. They deal with the moment based on concept of what they think is going to happen. And as you said, the game moves faster. Once the game moves faster, you don't have the time to do that.
Yeah, I think the problem is, it's repetition for young goalkeepers and getting confident and seeing the situations. And because you can tell them, okay, you're in this position, you're here, you should come for the ball in this situation. But it's got to be repetition and comfortability, because the minute they question themselves, they're out of position, they don't go for the ball, they don't meet it. Then you have the young kids that say, oh, I was supposed to go, so I'm going to go now. Now you're late and everything. So honestly, with young kids, it's just confidence through repetition and seeing the situations, making your mistakes, not coming and getting scored on, coming and having success. And the more you do that, the more comfortable you go. I mean, even for me playing pro, when I was in New York, like every single practice at the team would be warming, cooling down, and we would just take crosses. And I come back to crosses because I don't think young kids see them enough because their teammates can't hit them. You know, it's true. So, and so we would just crossing scenarios, you know what I mean? And so I think that even at an elite level, it's still something you do repetition wise to get that timing down, to get the different visions of it down.
You know, Dane, you know, in regards to that, like, I'm just assuming, I mean, first off, you know, I mean, that's something that's really massive in your game is, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on for this topic here is because you do a really good job of recognizing the immediate danger in those scenarios, deciding when to retreat, when to attack, in a crossing situation. And, you know, I think that one of the problems is, and tell me if you agree with this, a lot of young kids see crosses, but they don't see crosses, actual game crosses. They see the concept of a cross.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way the attackers are now, they're whipping in the ball so much too. It's, we talk about it a lot in Minnesota too. It's like they're whipping it as hard as a shot sometimes. And like, even if you punch the ball, you don't need to make a lot of contact with it, the ball will hit off your hand and go the distance just because of how hard these balls are getting whipped in now. So it's like you very rarely need to go and actually wind up a punch to like get a lot of distance on it. If you get a good contact on it, it'll go far by itself almost.
Yeah, we were talking that when you were off for a second, and I was saying that it's such a different time now. Like, you're not floating a ball in, and if you mm-hmm. do as a goalkeeper, you're like, sweet, thanks, you know, I'm just gonna come and collect that. And if for some reason it's too far out, it, like, who's gonna get like a really serious header on it if I just drop in? But the balls that are getting whipped in now, it's a whole different scenario, and the timing on that and knowing when to come, it's a shot, and it's a shot that's getting redirected with, and it's the same for the field players. All it takes is like a glance and it's on goal. And so, you know, those scenarios are totally different, and it's something that is hard to deal with, and the timing of when to come and how to meet that and how to get a hand on it is it's totally different now and needs to be trained hardcore.
And you brought up such a great point, Dane, in regards to that the balls are coming in so fast that if mm-hmm. you try to put too much momentum into it, you're actually doing yourself a disservice rather than helping yourself. And like, I've recognized a lot of times if a ball is coming in with a lot of pace and I try to go for that ball with power, well, by the time it actually makes contact with me, I'm now going negative because mm-hmm. my momentum is now taking it negative, as opposed to if I just guided the ball, I'd be in a better mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah, just redirect it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's do this here because while we still have good Wi-Fi right here, let's bring out some of these breakdowns of some of these actions here, because I'm really excited about this. I want to show a lot of these different actions right here. So can we see this here? Oh no, this is not it. This is the last podcast. This is not what. Okay,
Mike, you're just having a nightmare.
It's one of those. it's one of those days. Oh, there you guys are. Okay, there we go. Thank God. Okay. All right. Let's get this going here. So this is in the 37th minute against St. Louis. Wow. St. Louis, shout out to you guys having such a great expansion year. Pretty insane. Like, unreal. So what happens here is Edward Leuven cuts inside the 18. And then he just hits a laser towards you, Dane, towards the back post. You recognize that great lateral footwork, great push off, and you attack and meet it to steer that ball away. So let's break it down. So first off, what do you see right here?
Yeah.
All right, Saskia, what do you see right here then?
All right. Well, first of all, I see a great positioning, period, hands down. So if you're looking up at Dane the entire time, his positioning is on point, and he's just using micro movements to reset himself. So when, how'd you say Ten's name?
Edward Leuven, right?
Leuven. So Leuven. When Leuven cuts inside, Dane doesn't have to make much of an adjustment. So he cuts in here. So it's just a simple micro step, micro movement, but still his body weight's still forward and everything. So even though Leuven thinks he's got that bend in the far post, he absolutely doesn't, in my opinion.
Yeah, so if you're asking, the other thing for me was, I mean, obviously players can whip it back to the first post, but if I look where my defender is, mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of trust in him that he can stop that ball from one of the first posts, so it allows me to take kind of that half step before and kind of anticipate based on the defender that he's going to try to kind of wrap it around him. And I feel like a lot of days attackers love cutting in and bending the ball to the top corner because everyone wants to score that worldie, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think it's funny, like, we don't like there. It's so much fun as a goalkeeper, and you guys can know this, is when you do read the player so well that you get that jump. You know what I mean? That it's like the best feeling, you know, like you don't want to always over anticipate and assume, because you could get caught if he cut back and went to the near post. And it, let's say it went through your player's legs, but at the same time, if you've set up your defense and the situation, you're like, go ahead, bend it. I'm waiting for it. You know, it's like the best feeling.
What I love about this right here, Dane, is that look at your body shape. And I want a lot of young goalkeepers to see this, because a lot of young goalkeepers in this situation, if a ball's bending away from them, they start bending away towards the ball, but you're attacking the ball because you're basically trying to make contact with it in its flight as opposed to its final destination. And I think that's just why it's such a high level save right there.
Well, look at his power step. So he's attacking the ball, not going flat. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of goalkeepers that if you in this situation, if one of his set positions was to get deeper, he might get beat. Number two, I'm not saying he would have gotten beat, but you know, other goalkeepers.
For sure.
And then, but if you look at his power step right there, it's attacking. So it's cutting the angle off at a better angle, which allows him to get this at a better angle. I know, Mike, I know it's me being very technical.
No, but I love, but I love it. But I also want to also just talk about the fact that, like, also, Dane, like, you know, is this a conscious decision on you? Is that the trailing hand is also following through? Because a lot of young goalkeepers, you know, go with one and then lock that arm.
I think anytime you can go with two, it's definitely a lot easier to give yourself a bigger surface area to block the ball. First and foremost, you get the opportunity to potentially hold it based on the ball. You have that decision. And then I think, yeah, just the power in having two hands there to be able to push the ball wide, I think. If it's close enough, I think is – you can always go with two and end with one is kind of the way that we kind of talk about it.
And that's 100%. And I tell my younger goalkeepers, like, if you automatically go with one, I look at your other arm like an anchor that's, like, dragging in the water. So you're losing that momentum, that power, that two hands to the ball through your whole core can give you. And if you end up going with one at the end, fine. But if you automatically go, this little anchor over here is just trailing, you know, and I don't think you get the momentum you need to actually either power through it, hold on to it, or anything.
Yeah, I think especially with bouncing balls, like I look back to the SKC game, they score off the corner kick, the ball bounces, and the way they wet our fields, you're expecting it to skip, but it took kind of like a hard bounce and bounced straight up, and I went with one, so it bounced over my hand. But I'm like, in a situation, like looking back at it, being hypercritical, if I potentially could have got two hands there, it could have potentially been a save.
You know, one thing I want to bring up right here, Dane, which I really love too, is the simple fact that, like, you're attacking with your body as opposed to just your hands. And I think a lot of young goalkeepers, they just throw their hands out, but then their body's locked and they think they're doing the job because they're shooting their hands at the ball.
Yeah. I think kind of, we talk about is attacking with your head. Your head normally will take your body with the rest of it. You know what I mean? So I think anytime you can get whether it's your head behind the ball or drive with your head, your the rest of your body will follow.
Yeah. DeChica used to always say, save through your chest. Like, it's just that core. Don't just shoot your hand. So, agreed.
I think also you shooting that head is why you're able to track that ball even after you played into a safe area. You recognize where that ball is, because if you hadn't shot with your head, let's say, you lose sight of the ball. And now it's a big scramble. You never know. Let's move into a crossing situation now here. This is, I think, a corner kick right here. Again, against St. Louis. 22nd minute. This corner kick kind of comes in. It's in swinging into traffic. You attack it. You meet it. And then, again, play it into a great safe space. This is what you're talking about, letting the ball do the work, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You kind of, especially with these ones, you can kind of just almost like guide them on.
Boom. I love that. I love that context. Susk, anything you see here?
No, and it's also the timing, because he's going through the ball as it's coming to the point that he can make contact with it. This ball's like out for a throw-in, probably, I think, you know, and you're letting the ball do the work. If you mistime this and you don't meet it at its highest point, your momentum's not going through the ball, your momentum's meeting the ball, then you're not going to get the power through it. So it's just that timing and that attack on the ball that gives you, it goes for a corner, but that attack that gives you the momentum to propel the ball out of danger.
I'm looking at the way you're coming at this ball, Dane. Are you coming straight on at this ball, or are you coming at an angle at this
it's
ball?
Kind of side on.
I think it's kind of side on, just because of the amount of traffic that is in front of you there. So I think that's the other thing too. I think with the traffic in front of you, kind of can determine your path to the ball, and there's not necessarily a right way or wrong way to it in times like this, as long as you get to the ball.
Yeah.
So we got a question in here from the audience, and shout out to all of you guys who are watching on Memorial Day right here. This comes from Chris Sealwich, and he goes, how long did it take to adjust to decision-making/timing/movement when you leveled up from youth to college? Go Terps. So maybe there's a Maryland fan right here. To MLS to national team.
I think the biggest one for me was to college. I think like the style of play that we played in Canada, at my club team, I mean, we were one of the best teams in the country, and our coaches coaching at Halifax, but it was very possession based football. So I didn't have to deal with a lot of crosses and stuff like that. And then I went to the Big Ten, where it was, you play against Wisconsin, Northwestern, that's all they're going to try to do is put the ball in the box. So I think that was kind of when I had to take the biggest jump. And then, of course, with MLS and national team, I think the decisions, the balls are just getting whipped in faster. It's still the same kind of mindset, but you're just dealing with better quality of service now.
I mean, I think, you know, you brought up a really good point right there in regards to, and Suska, I know, you know, you've coached at all the levels, you know, from the youth level all the way to the highest levels. Would you agree that kind of that jump from youth to college really is the biggest one?
Yes. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I think depending on also where you go, it could be your jump. Nowadays, it could be your jump from college to pro or to the national team on the women's side, depending on what school you're playing at, what if you're in the Pac-12, if you're like where you're at as well in the competition you're playing against. But yeah, I think it's always a major jump, even if you're playing on like one of the best ECNL teams, to jump up to play for UCLA or something, and against a Stanford or, you know, against a Santa Clara, like the speed's going to be different. The services, the tactics are going to be different and a lot faster. So I would agree. I think that that's usually the biggest jump.
And you know, and I think, you know, one of these things, Dane, I'm just thinking about it right now in regards to like any young listeners who are watching the show right now, is that like for the first time in their lives, you're coming in as a college freshman into the collegiate environment. And now, hey, nowadays with COVID years and stuff like that, you're 25-year-olds out there that you're going up against. So that physicality.
I also think for me growing up in Canada, I didn't know much about the college game. I knew a little bit, but like nowadays with you can watch so many professional games and know about the league and all those things. But I think for me growing up in Canada, I didn't necessarily always know that I was going to go to college. So even having access to watch some of those games were tough growing up.
Yeah.
That's a great point. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. If you haven't been exposed to it, you don't know. So it's all going to be a learning process. Last thing I want to say, kind of with this cross right here, though, that I really love about it is that you stay on your feet, and it's a very simple redirection. I think a lot of young goalkeepers, they go airborne in this situation, not recognizing the fact that like they lose control if they go airborne. Like they're not going to be able to really, like, what if this is a second ball situation? Now you're right there, you can get set for that near post.
Exactly. And I think it's just being conscious of that. Of course, there's going to be times where you're going to have to lay it all out there, but I think in situations where you can stay on your feet in crossing situations, I mean, too, in terms of health, there's so many bodies around you. You're landing on someone's foot or could to hurt yourself or potentially hurt someone else as well.
That's a really good point. Seska, I didn't even think about that, but when I see a lot of these young goalkeepers.
Leave late, arrive early, jump through. That's what Tony used to always said. So you take that quick pause, you see where the ball is going to go, you get the right line to it. So you leave late, technically, a split second late, so you get the right line to the ball. You arrive early and at the highest point, but you let your momentum carry you through. So you carry yourself through the traffic. So you're not going, you want to avoid going straight up in traffic, period. Like you're never going to get the right momentum. You're never going to be catching, like it makes it more difficult on you. So if you can go through traffic and allow your momentum to carry you through it, it's the best scenario.
By the way, I love just the behavior afterwards, Dane, from you. Just like, yeah, no big deal. It's just what I do. Just stay on my feet. Just control that ball. Oh, man. All right, let's move on to this play right here. So now we got a free kick scenario going on. And this is, I think, against Vancouver. I think it's Ryan Gauld that hits it. He's like 30 out, would you say, Dane, about there? Like he's pretty far out there.
30.
Yeah. So it's a slight, it looks like it's a slight deflection, like right off the wall. And so it's a laser. It starts going in, but you get a good quick jump on it, it seems like. And then again, it's another attack and meet. Recognizing where that ball is trailing, you play it over the bar here. And that's one of those situations where you do have to lay it all out.
For sure. And what I think a it's definitely a lot different on shots. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely one of the classier players in the league. These situations can be tough too, because he could cross it from that distance and you're trying to be in a spot where you can affect the cross as well. But you know, someone of his quality can definitely aim for the top corner and put it there as well. So you're kind of playing that shot, but also playing the cross.
That's a great point. Actually, I wasn't even thinking about that. You can't just be assuming shot. You've got to know all the scenarios that can happen there. Most likely, I would have probably thought dangerous ball, but man, what a hit right there. Suska, anything you want to add there?
It's just great timing on the save. You know, just you have to see where the ball's going. So you can't just automatically assume far, like behind the wall, upper 90, I'm just going to go and get a jump. So again, it's that split second that you have to like hold. And then just to be able to attack it and get that tip over, it's just great. It's a great save. Like, I don't really, it's just a great save.
I mean, it's a phenomenal save. And one thing that, Dane, that I really like, see, you never get Suski to clap. Oh my gosh, Dane. Look at that.
I'm like, it speaks for itself.
You just got Suski to clap. This is somebody who analyzes goalkeepers for a living week in and week out. This is amazing. I want to bring up one thing I really like about it is your height. You're big. You don't drop here. I think a lot of young goalkeepers, that ball's hit and then they're going laterally, but they're dropped. You're actually at the height of the shot. And because you're tracking it at the height of the shot, you're able to attack it and meet it at its height rather than below its height.
It's a great save.
Yeah. He even knows it. He even knows it based on the reaction. Yeah. Right here. Look at that.
Well, that was our last regular season game of the season. So it was a big one for us for playoffs as well. So I think that was kind of part of it to keep the clean sheet that late on as well was definitely a big save for sure.
I mean, my gosh, Dan, talk about the pressure of that and then a ball being hit like this and to make that save right there just changes things. Dane, if before the Wi-Fi cuts out, though, I do want to bring up, because I was trying to bring it up earlier, is I like the fact that you're tracking the ball and you're high on the ball. So you're shooting up at the ball as opposed to across at the ball. And I think that's why you make the save.
Yeah, and I think definitely my height and length play an advantage when I know I can – if I'm getting to a ball that high, if I touch it, it's going to go over the bar instead of having to kind of get it wide. I think with my height and my length, I know that if I'm touching it at full extension, the ball is pretty high. So any kind of touch should take it over the bar.
Dude, I love what you just said right there. Seska, we've talked about this, about using your own strengths, whatever your own qualities are as a goalkeeper, utilizing them to the best of your ability. And I wish I had that height. I don't have that capability.
But also just keep it simple. Like, don't try to do something like, you know, get the tip on it, just redirect it. Like, you know, keep it, not that this is simple in any way, shape or form, but don't try to do too much. You know, all it takes is that getting a touch to it and redirect, and it's going to go over, like you said.
Absolutely. All right, let's play this clip right here. This is a different scenario. Well, after that's very exciting. All right, so this is against San Jose right here. This is a different type of scenario because we're talking about the 8th minute in a game. Obviously, mm-hmm. very different than the 89th minute in a game. Shea Salinas plays a square ball to the top of the E to Christian Espinoza. He lays it off to Paul Marie, and shift by Dane. Look at this. Another amazing save. Just absolutely brilliant. Siski, you're going to clap on that one too? Look at the distance on this.
I don't need to. It's just.
Look at that. Unreal. Oh, man. Anything you want to add here? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think kind of you see the way he's approaching the ball, he's probably going to hit it. So it allows you to really get set and then get a good push. I think obviously he has the whole kind of goal to shoot at. But with his angle of approach and things like that, he's more times than not going to probably aim for the far post here.
Yeah, I love what you just said in regards to, like, you also recognize you're seeing those triggers and cues and you're knowing when most likely what he's going to do. You're not going to jump on it, but you have an indication that that's what he's going to do based on his body shape. Do you agree, Susk?
Yeah, I think also, like, young goalkeepers, if you watch this and stuff, like, everybody's positioning on this has to be different. And so, you know, with your athleticism and your strength, and even though you're at, like, the three, whatever, like, you can get a paw on this, and you do, and it's a great tip. Some goalkeepers can't. Some goalkeepers might have to be a little, like, a step deeper. I would be in the same position and everything, considering this is at the 20, and a little off your line, but you have to know yourself as a goalkeeper and what you're positioning on this and distance, because I'd say other goalkeepers could get beat on this. Like, Mike, you had gotten beat.
Oh, absolutely. I would have gotten beat.
If you were in the same position with your height, you would have gotten beat. And I'm not being rude. I'm just saying, like I think you would have had to be a step back.
I would have. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, understanding your capabilities. And Dane, obviously, you know how much ground you can cover in front of the bar based on your starting position. I absolutely. And, you know, if you're a 5'9", 5'10 goalkeeper, you need to be a step back on that in order mm-hmm. to allow yourself the time.
Yeah.
Such a great point, Susk. Such a great point. Before all these younger goalkeepers.
They're like, this is where I need to stand when the ball's
in
the
play. Yeah, because Dane stands here.
Because Dane stands there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Unless you have a cape or something, you probably won't get.
No, I think that's a great point. It's something that even at Minnesota or Team Canada, we talk about kind of all our profiles are different. So you have to figure out what's right for you. And you can take little pieces and parts from everyone's game, but it's about what's going to apply to your game and make your game shine the most with the abilities that you have as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I love the fact that you just brought that up, Dane, because I think, you know, we all need to understand that starting positions are fluid. They're not, you know, set in stone, like, oh, you always stand here. Like, what if you have, you know, what if you're slightly injured? So you're not as quick off your line, you know, maybe
you might not have the athleticism either, because you can be the same height as Dane, but not with the same athletic ability.
Yeah.
So you have to take that into account. You know, can you cover that ground? Can you get yourself to something like this? You know, you could put 10 other goalkeepers in there and you might score seven goals in the same shot.
Yeah. I want to play this last ball here because this is a little bit of a different type of action right here. This is a different scenario. This is against Vancouver. And I think it's Gauld plays the ball out to Gressel, and the ball's played in right here. Dane, you're shifting across. And this is a close range situation where you're attacking and meeting this ball and playing it into a good area. So let's kind of play this back right here as that ball comes in here. See how you're like you're stepping and you're attacking this ball. You're not waiting for that ball right there.
Yeah, I think also too in situations like that where one, there's an attacker going, but with the amount of pressure, it's going to be very hard to hold on to this ball. So if you can attack it, you're going to be able to put the ball further as well. And when you attack the ball, even if you don't get great contact on it, it's probably going to still find its way outside the net versus if you're kind of passive trying to time it perfectly.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And then great recovery movement just to cover that space right there. So anything you want to add?
No, he's right. Like if that step into the ball is on the wrong angle, if it's too flat, and like I said, you can make a mess of it, you know? And so the fact that you attacked it and still, you know, were able to parry it out of this 18 and out of danger, it's a great play, you know?
And I think, you know, Dane, this is a good point in regards to, for like young goalkeepers out there who are listening, that to understand, you need to know the context of the scenario of like what's going on in that moment. Because if that ball is played differently, you might approach it differently, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. I also think that it's the final action of the play. So we see a lot mm-hmm. of young goalkeepers that swat at this, mm-hmm. that, you know, all of a sudden that ball's bouncing like at the top of the six, like in the middle of the goal, you're getting up, you're trying to scramble and everything, where the final action is, hey, I might not be able to hold this, but I'm at least getting it out of danger. And your momentum through attacking the ball is allowing you to do that. If you're passive and you're allowing the ball to hit you, then that's when that ball is just going to drop and bounce.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love it. And again, two hands, even if you only make contact with one hand, the two hands right there allows that momentum to play that ball into a great area right there. And again, just cool, calm, and collective on the tracking right there. Well, Dane, before we finish up, and then thanks for doing this on a holiday. And I know, obviously, you know, we can't control Wi-Fi issues sometimes. So we'll do this again another time.
It's okay. We'll it'll be edited. It'll be amazing.
It's going to be the longest live show to the shortest edited show.
I am going to clip that. I think that might be a clip that we post on social.
That's hilarious.
I love that. Talk a little bit about the experience about going to Qatar and how that's kind of helped, you know, progress you to that next level as a goalkeeper. I mean, obviously you're now literally playing, you know, in an environment with some of the world's best right there. Like how has that affected you now going into this season?
Yeah, I think having the taste of that of being there. Of course, I was the backup there, but I know obviously 2026 is a ways away, but in the same breath, it's right around the corner as well. And to be able to partake in that is definitely something I want to be a part of, and to take a more of a role on the team as well. And I know that in order to do that, it's gonna take me performing well at my club, and then performing well with the national team as well. So I think it was definitely a nice experience and something I'm very proud of, but it kind of left me hungrier for more.
I love that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love the way you said that is hungrier for more, man. And that the fact that you brought up 2026, because
the truth is I'm going to sit here and I'll call out Vladko and stuff like that right now. You haven't chosen your third, you know, we don't know who the third goalkeeper is. For all intents and purposes, it's going to be Murphy and Nair. But you know, I think AD's out of the running. But who are you going to bring? Are you going to bring a Fallon? Bring a young up-and-coming goalkeeper for the experience? Because 4 years from now, just like you said, Nate, it made you hungrier. And it made you, like, get a taste of it. And now you're the young goalkeeper. You've been to a World Cup. You've gone through the experience and everything. And now you're like, well, now I want to be on the field. Yeah. So you can't keep bringing the old guard all the time. That's all I got to say.
No, I hear you. And hey, you know, in the last World Cup, you know, on the women's side, you know, Kaylin Sheridan was a backup. And now, you know, for Canada, you know, we're expecting big things of her on the women's side here. So, you know, that experience. So we're pulling for you. 26, St. Clair in 26. sounds like a political campaign.
It does.
Oh my gosh. Well, Dane, we'll start wrapping up right here. Since it is a holiday, but the real last question I want to ask you, like, do you have any advice for any young goalkeepers who are always getting caught, you know, mistiming balls?
One, it's, I think it's the repetition, but also it could be the starting position. Okay, why are you mistiming? Are you, if you take a step backwards, it might give yourself a little bit more time, or if I need to attack the ball more because I'm too late on it. So I think mistiming can be early or it can be behind as well. So I think kind of trying to break down of what's leading that. Am I reacting late? Am I seeing the ball late? Is it my actual movement that isn't explosive enough? I think that there's a lot that can go into it. So it's kind of just trying to break it down, which is definitely a lot easier said than done. But I think if you can kind of take a step back and really dissect each kind of movement from the time the ball is kicked to the time the save is being made.
Absolutely.
Saskia, anything you want to add to that?
Nope.
That's it. Dane's one goalkeeping. He's one goalkeeping.
He got a clap.
I love it.
What do you need me here for?
He got a clap. Dane, thanks for taking all the time, man. I know this is a busy time of the year for you. If people want to connect with you directly, where's the best place for them to do that?
Probably Instagram or Twitter, at SaintC17, the letter C. Yeah, that's probably I'm not as good on Twitter as I am on Instagram, but I've been trying to be better, you know what I mean?
Me too.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, because that's just a way just to lead into this, Dane. If you're not great on Twitter, you can be great on the Union. It is a platform for youth athletes to engage with each other and pro players and coaches. Everyone can create their own handle for free on there. All sorts of fun stuff. You can connect with all sorts of people, and maybe even Dane will create one. Who knows? You never know. Maybe he'll find the minute to do it. But if you want to reach out to us for a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion, it's at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union Goalkeeper app, or contact at InsideThe18Media.com on email. All right, everybody.
Have a healthy Memorial Day. Just say
have a healthy Memorial Day, and we are out. Later, guys. Yeah!